So let's actually move into our last little segment here. So let's look back. We've already talked a lot about this.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of just mention this, kind of talk about this briefly a little bit, getting to our conclusions and a bit of a lasting thoughts, and then we'll say goodbye to everybody. Brylan, overall thoughts of the Skywars saga, what you got for me?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm 40 years old, and I've grown
up. Damn, you look good, bro.
Well, thank you. I've grown up with this series my whole entire life. Went and saw Empire when I was a baby in the theaters. Saw Return of the Jedi as a kid in the theaters. And, I mean, this is kind of my MCU for people my age. And I will always cherish it a lot more than other series that come afterwards, even though I do enjoy those other movie series that are really definitely redefining what cinema is right now. Overall, the Skywalker saga, definitely not the most cohesive story that's told, but for a world that was purely made for the screen and became this huge universe to explore and tell different stories, or even tell your own stories, depending on how you actually approach this series. I mean, there's nothing that can beat the Star Wars universe for me. And I'm just even more excited to see how they continue to explore this universe and continue to build upon it. But I will leave y'all with my final rankings of the primary Skywalker saga films. So I'll go from bottom to top. So at the very bottom is Attack of the Clones. It's definitely probably the most problematic movie out of these. Not problematic, but not the most entertaining or fun.
Shittiest movies. You can just say it. It's okay. it's a terrible film, Brylan.
Yeah. I would say The Phantom Menace is next to it. Revenge of the Sith, definitely a step up from those two movies. Then I'll put The Last Jedi, and that's definitely a distant, that's definitely much higher than Revenge of the Sith. And this is where the movies start to get like very high in quality. I would say after The Last Jedi, The Rise of Skywalker is the next one. I put it right there in the middle. Empire Strikes Back afterwards. A New Hope. And then I put The Force Awakens as my number two. And Return of the Jedi is my number one. It'll always be my number one. Because Return of the Jedi is... it may not be everyone's favorite movie in the original trilogy, but it's definitely my favorite. I know some people hate Ewoks. I love Ewoks because they are cannibal bears that can definitely mess up some Imperial soldiers. And there's a lot of fun in Return of the Jedi, whether it's Jabba's Palace or the Moon of Endor. But also what makes that movie work more than anything is the scenes between Luke and Darth Vader and the Emperor. And I still consider Luke and Darth Vader's final lightsaber fight probably the best lightsaber fight in the entire series, and also one of the most iconic scenes of all movie history.
I'm surprised that Force Awakens is so high, but Rise of Skywalker even spells out Rose. What the fuck?
It's Ross.
Exactly.
The E is silent, bro.
The E is silent.
Derek, you're up next.
Like I was saying, this is an effective wrap for the third trilogy, or the Disney trilogy, however you want to put it. And it definitely plays to what they're trying to do with franchise build. And for me, it doesn't wrap the saga, but it wraps the third trilogy, and that's a win for me. So I think that does it. I don't really want to call them rankings, but my favorite is Return of the Jedi. Like, I will watch that for all the reasons Brylan just said, especially for the silent moments where Vader just looks out and is just sad, and he looks at Luke and is just sad. Those are the moments that get me, and the redemption part of that is beautiful. Empire, I will watch any day as well, just because it's Empire. You know, it's just edited extremely well. It fits together. It's the tightest of the movies. I really like The Force Awakens. It's fun. It's visually great. The music is wonderful. A New Hope is actually not my favorite, but I will watch it, you know, anytime it's on. It's kind of like, I'm not saying like I'm saying these are bad. I'm just saying like in order of like my go-to, what I will flip on when I have all these films either on Disney Plus or the original 4K transfers that we are hoping to obtain one day. You know, I will put on Return of the Jedi first is what I'm saying, and then I'll put on Empire and so on. After New Hope, I have Last Jedi. Rise of Skywalker probably falls in after that. And then the prequels, you know, we got 3 and then 1 and then the absolute drivel of Attack of the Clones. So that's how I would rank my, you know, click of the button, what I would put on first.
The prequels, yeah, yada yada yada. The prequels, no one cares. No one cares about those things. Blew it. What you got?
Yeah, so I had a couple things based on the Skywalker saga in general. Finally, Chewbacca got his medal. Let's just that hasn't been said. Yeah,
that was awesome. Great moment.
Second best moment, only to Wedge. Wedge was the best. And so let's talk about a couple things. First of all, a bit of parody that I think they actually did really well was the Force lightning in this film, specifically when Palpatine was zapping the entire fleet. One line that I thought was wicked out of place in the first trilogy was Vader saying that the Death Star paled in comparison to the Force. And here is Palpatine. And so, you're going to watch the Death Star destroy a planet, right? So, like, that's in the next 5 minutes of that movie is seeing the ultimate force in the galaxy. No pun intended. And I was glad that we got a moment of Palpatine realizing the force at its truest destructive nature it could possibly be at. And it really brought home that line from what Vader said 42 years ago. That line that Vader said 42 years ago was finally vindicated in this moment when he brought down not one, but two fleets. Let's talk about Marvel movies for a second. So I think that they did do a couple things that were very Marvel-like, but I would have loved to have seen more. First of all, the fleet showing up by itself. How did we not get a Portals type moment? You know, where like you see the Falcon show up and then you see one more ship and one more ship and one more ship. And you know, like the whole thing kind of like flies in together. It would have drawn together, you know, it would have pieced together how much the galaxy was splintered, right? It wasn't organized. It couldn't get there at one point to help them, but it was still fighting for one unified cause. Another big thing that I had about this movie is that we didn't get a big space battle with all the different ships. We got a couple standout things and it went immediately back down to Kylo and Rey. I would have freaking loved to have seen a modern day CGI crazy space battle, right? Like they did the initial space battles with freaking miniatures, you know, and made it look as good as they could. And they look phenomenal. But when you compare it to maybe Revenge of the Sith, that opening fight scene, like give me something like that, but 20 years of improvements in graphics. And we didn't get it. The last thing I would like to say about the Skywalker saga is that the freaking double saber thing that they did was cool as hell, but not freaking explained well enough. Like, I think everyone was like cheesing on that line about how like, oh, cool, you got Force lightning, but like, I got two sabers. You know, like it seems it's kind of cheesy. That being said, I think the point behind all of it was that it didn't matter about the sabers. It was the fact that the entirety of the Jedi was behind Rey at that moment.
Yeah,
what I would have loved to seen. And one of my favorite scenes in all of cinema history is when Aragorn jumps off that frickin' ship, the Corsair ship, down, I forget what the cove was. The orcs look back at Aragorn and they're like, what is this idiot? And so they start, you know, like lipping their chomps and Aragorn starts running out and they're just like, what? And then the ghosts appear, and then they just wipe the floor. I freaking love that scene from Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. And I think that...
Spoiler alert, we talked about we were spoiling Star Wars, not Rich. Come on, what's
going on? Lord of the Rings is like 100 years old now.
Yeah, seriously. But the... So I think they could have done something similar-esque to that. Like, they don't have to have the portal scene where, like, Leia appears behind, you know, Rey and then Luke and then all these other people. But you could have had almost... they did such an interesting job of showing how the Emperor could feed off of their, like, life force, which is another reason why I think that Rey should have been a Force baby, because it would have explained why she had so much life force to give out in that moment, to repopulate him as a human being, him as a human being, or whatever he is. I think the reverse is that it really underscores how the Force is like pushed and pulled through kind of spirit rather than physical things. And lightning and lightsabers are physical things. And so if you show like the quote unquote spirits of Jedi past flowing into the Emperor instead of like lightning, it would make sense to almost pacify and neutralize like this evil energy by the good energy that's coming behind him. And I would have loved to have seen, because then you could have flashed out all these cool people that we just heard their voices, right? You could have shown like Force Ghost Anakin, for example, jumping into the Emperor. That's all. You don't even need to like have combat or anything. Just show their life force being absorbed into that person.
So Kubo.
But we've seen the... Yeah.
That's fine.
That's the one thing I can't agree... I know.
Kubo's a great movie.
The thing, Kubo's amazing.
Amazing movie. Blew it. I like how they kept it small in that scale of it's a battle between Rey and... just what she currently kind of has
in
her by herself. I understand that it isn't.
A thousand know that years it's a Jedi right. versus that's every right. Sith ever.
But I like just seeing Rey there because, like you said, we have seen that scene before and many times. I've already mentioned a Harry Potter reference. Again, that's another Harry Potter reference that we've seen in Harry Potter. I think 3 times that actually ends up happening. I'm like, we have seen that before. We have seen... I agree with the space battle. I agree with some. I think it would have been cool, but we have seen that before. I like the fact that they can give me a voiceover. I don't really agree with the timing of it, but whatever. I like that they can give us a voiceover, but keep the scene small and it's just Rey who has been for this time, quote unquote, by herself. But we now know that she's not. She has all these Force peoples behind her within her now because they were not there with her. At least in the beginning of this film, they weren't actually responding to her. Now that we at least have that, it's Rey and it's her job to take this person down, take this thing down. I like her being by herself. I know Ben comes back, but I like her being by herself and having that moment which she's never dual wielded 2 lightsabers before, but it's definitely been hinted at in The Force Awakens. And in, I think almost every, and in, I don't know about The Last Jedi, but also at least in The Force Awakens, has been a bit hinted. I'm just saying that I like the fact that it was just a small scale.
It's ending and
it
wasn't a saga. Something it's ending 9 what, movies.
Give but me... we've already seen Luke in that astral projection twice. We've seen it.
Right. But like, show the energy transfer. Show the pacification of the Emperor. Because essentially, you leave the same door open as you did at the end of Return of the Jedi, right? Like, the Emperor shocked himself and then was thrown down a well. Like, what did he really do? He shocked himself and a rock dropped on him. You know, like, there you show his spirit. I thought he
exploded.
Yeah, fine.
Voldemort disintegrated.
Right, yeah. He'll come back.
Another
Harry Potter. He fell into the core of the
Death Star. But, like, show him being overwhelmed by good. Because at that point, like, give me the over-the-top ending, you know? Give me that crazy ending that's just, like, every Jedi you've ever... Give me Cal from Fallen Order, you know? Give me the dude from Knights of the Old Republic jumping out of there. Like, give me all these arbitrary people that you just have no... Like,
Kyle Katarn.
Yeah, Kyle Katarn. Yeah.
Yeah, but those are not Disney Disney blessed.
Cal from Jedi Order or Jedi Fallen yes, Order yeah. is.
Well, yes, but not the Knights of the Republic.
I wish. Darth Revan.
But like, you know, show that whole thing of like the Sith is an entity versus the light side. I wish they went super over the top there rather, because I think people are memeing it now that like, you know, her picking up the second lightsaber. I don't think it was as impactful as they thought it would be. And I wish it was more.
I thought it would have been cool. I agree with doing something over the top. And if this force healing has the ability to just turn people to good, we've seen it twice now. Mandalorian, that dude straight up turned from bad to good. In this particular case, after Kylo Ren got force healed, he turned, I know it was other circumstances, but he kind of turned from bad to good. And if Rey's has the, yeah, exactly. Okay, so we saw it three times. If Rey has the ability to then touch, if force healing has the ability to completely nullify just for a moment, and we see if Palpatine has ever been a good person, and we see that just like him dressed in white and says, I'm sorry or something, whatever, not vindicating what he's doing, but just saying, you know, whatever, let's just see him in like a King's Crossing, all dressed in white with this little thing under it. That's fine. Let's do that. I agree with you of the over the top. This, I don't agree with having anybody else in that sequence though.
I think we unfortunately missed something with the fact that it's like lightsabers are so symbolic. And I totally agree with you, Mike, in terms of like there needs to be more significance of why the lightsabers are doing what they're doing. Because we're losing the connection there, because the second lightsaber is Leia's. And there's a connection there with Luke and Leia. And I think when the interesting thing is they call Ben and Rey a dyad. Well, Luke and Leia are a dyad, and it's their lightsabers. There's a thing there that is not fully fleshed out. And that's where I think that, like, because they've created these things and they've obviously passed on and become part of the Jedi Force that you're talking about, like we sort of need that payoff. And unfortunately, Leia's lightsaber is really just like a quick footnote in the movie. But I think that's the explanation we need, and I think that's why the lightsabers work. But to your point, Mike, it loses the connection because you just see the blades. You don't know it's Leia's. It's not like there's this magical moment where like Leia's lightsaber is significant, like the Elder Wand. You know,
right.
It's like
right.
it's just two lightsabers and right. a blade. So
that moment was really cool if they explained it. One other thing, really really nerdy, when Obi-Wan Kenobi, before you knew about the Sith, right? Before that was even a term. He explains that the lightsaber is a Jedi's weapon, right? It's an right. elegant weapon from a more civilized era. Even if you want to go extended universe, apparently I was looking this up. I found this out like 2 weeks ago. The Sith back in the day didn't use lightsabers. The OG Sith used force imbued swords. So yep. considering going yeah, back
trying
to like
backpacks on.
Right, so going back to the old days, the Jedi used lightsaber and the Sith used swords. So, like, the Sith didn't even use lightsabers. So, it is the ultimate Jedi weapon. It is the ultimate show of force of good energy in the universe. And, like, I just wish they really played that up. Because it, again, speaking of parody to the original trilogy, it speaks to that moment of Obi-Wan saying, this is a Jedi weapon. This is what the good people use to defeat yeah. evil, you know? And even in the same movie, it's kind of negated because Darth Vader wields a lightsaber 40 minutes later. Yeah. But
they've always like made the thing like Sith lightsabers are like using synthetic kyber crystals are not real. And
No. It's just corrupted. That's how they get the red.
No, they're synthetic.
Blew it. What's your ranking?
There are
here?
Two cannons you're talking about. So
yeah, I know.
It's definitely a digression. But the current Disney canon, Brylan, you're talking about the OG canon. Blew it. You're talking about the current canon where they actually are bleeding and they've been corrupted.
Right.
Sith can't obtain Kyber naturally, and when they do, they steal it or they kill someone. Like again, Harry Potter, and then it corrupts the crystal and they're now impure. But to your point, Blewett, sorry, again, the lore is coming out. But even Palpatine in Return of the Jedi calls it a Jedi weapon to yeah. Luke. So yeah. that actually underscores your point where he uses it as an insult, like you're using this Jedi weapon, like I don't even need one because I'm a Sith Lord.
That's one of the worst parts about one of the worst Star Wars movies was when Count Dooku was like, we can't settle this in the Force, let's do lightsabers. It's like, no, the Force guides lightsabers, you idiot. Like, no, that was awful. Because again, you're right, the Jedi as peacekeepers use lightsabers.
Blewett, I kind of like your idea I think it'd be cool to see a live action Freddie Prinze Jr. as Kanan Jarrus.
I would just like to see Freddie Prinze Jr. in the mainstream again.
Okay, that'd be cool.
In general.
Blue, what's your rankings?
Stuff, and then it's the original trilogy. Stuff. Honestly, it's funny because I heard this. I heard a good analogy that was I actually really like. It is the original trilogy tells a good story with terrible, terrible writing. It's a terrible movie, but a good story. Whereas the new trilogy tells good movies, but terrible stories. And I think that's really true. And they kind of somewhat negate themselves, where all that you're left with is a lump sum of the original trilogy. And in my personal order, it is three, New Hope to two, Return of the Jedi to one, Empire. Empire is one of the best films ever made. Everything else below that is like good, and I will watch it over pretty much every other movie series on the planet, including Attack of the Clones. Including that. But it just, they just don't compare. None of them compare.
I think we've lost Derek from that comment. only thing I want to kind of bring up before we give you our lasting thoughts here is, guys, what do you think is going to show up in the next episode of Mandalorian?
Baby Yoda's
because I don't think Poe can show up, right? How old is he?
I know, he's younger. Poe's like 35.
So I mean,
Lando shows up and the Mandalorian goes Lando, and Lando goes Mando. They just keep on doing that forever.
Dude, it's just Billy Dee Williams and Carl Weathers. I'd love to see that.
Oh my god,
Lando, yeah, Mando. That'd be dope. Mando.
That'd be amazing.
Lando, Apollo.
Wrong movie. Save that beat. One of the biggest things I was thinking of. I was like, okay, Derek, and it goes to your point here. I'm like, they clearly did this for that one reason. Yep. So now there's some character that they have introduced, and I think it may be Palpatine, guys. And there's some character that now Palpatine and this baby Yoda, clone Yoda, however we're going to say, is somehow linked. That's probably who's going to be sort of mentioned or even sort of referenced, or we hear his voice or see his face.
Yep. Next episode. We need some.
I was kind of thinking about it.
Too.
Yeah.
So, I was kind of thinking about it, and I was like, is Richard E. Grant old enough to have been in Return of the Jedi as like one of the younger officers? And I was hoping to think that General Pride was in Return of the Jedi, but he's not. But it was really cool that even though he was a very brief character, kind of not even a necessary character, but they basically used him to get General Hux out of the way and say, get rid of the sniveling idiot. We need someone a bit more sinister. And I did actually kind of enjoy what they did with General Pride and General Hux in this movie.
I think also Luke may show up too.
In Mandalorian?
Mm-hmm.
As a ghost?
I mean, that would be like peak Luke.
Which no, be it's cool. before, no, it's yeah, before it's Deadlock. Before.
Yeah,
it'd be like luck. It'd be still.
Oh yeah,
like,
it's true.
Still be a very young Luke. Like,
no. It'd be like it's after the Empire falls, right?
Yeah.
It's like two or 3 years after Return of the.
But
Jedi.
That's like peak Luke.
Yeah, that's peak Luke. It's
right. He's like at his most powerful.
It's true.
Right,
he'd be way overpowered for that series. He would just come in.
It's him putting together Falcon. The Jedi Academy.
Millennium Falcon could also. Okay,
this flies by.
Either Luke, Palpatine, Millennium Falcon, or Han. One of those are going to show up.
You know, chances are it's C-3PO. No,
you're not wrong.
You know.
Or Dio. Just like to mess with everyone.
Dio's. J.J. Abrams was the voice of Dio.
The only thing I also agree with you, sort of, Derek, talking about the favorites. I'm definitely a bit different on it. My favorite is going to be Force Awakens for it. After that, it gets a bit messy. But probably a Force Awakens, Empire Strikes Back. I think a Last Jedi, A New Hope, Return of the Jedi. Rise of Skywalker, somewhere in the middle of it. It gets pretty messy, but this is not the top. Yeah. Force Awakens. There's something about The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi film that really spoke to me really, really well. It could just be because of John Boyega's character. Then I don't know if it's all of that, but also the Poe character and how they sort of broke apart the original trio, Luke, Han, and Leia, and how they sort of introduced them in the different element, and each one of these new trios have a bit of something. Even in this film, I know we didn't talk about it, but they kept referring to Rey as the smuggler, right? So that was actually kind of pretty interesting.
No, Scrapper.
Or Poe is a smuggler.
Yeah, Poe's the smuggler. They were just doing that to drive how close he was to Han Solo. Because Solo was a spice smuggler.
I thought it was kind of funny because Han wasn't the best pilot at that time, and Poe is also not the best pilot. And that was something that was, I think, really nice that they even kind of mentioned that, hey, clearly, like, Rey is a better pilot than Poe is. But from what we introduced to Poe, he was, like, the best pilot ever. All this was a shit. So
he's, like, the best non-Force-using pilot.
Well, even before that, she wasn't a Force user. She was still better than him.
Yeah, to Brian's point, there is the Force augmentation. Because this is pod racing.
Yes.
No, Derek.
Yes.
We talked about, we'll never say that.
There was still some Force behind her flying the Millennium Falcon.
Dead.